Thank you for the request for the invitation again to come share the hotel over the summer with you. The soul of the shir is for a full of a time was in Rachalaya. You should have a Rafua Shlema, the car of Manish. I was asked by Rabbi Bliss to discuss the topic of sakana, of dangerous activities during the 3 weeks, and in particular dangerous activities for the rest of the year as well. So we're trying to discover and learn the sugya of putting oneself in danger, not complicated things like danger in order to save somebody else's life, and doctors and first responders and things like that. But rather, we want to discuss the topic of doing activities, leisurely activities, fun activities, regular activities that come with a side of danger attachment. And what is the halakha, what is the Torah say in regards to dangerous activities? Let's first talk about the 3 weeks, dangerous activities during 3 weeks. We'll talk about the source of that, and we'll discuss the cloud, we'll discuss in general the topic about dangerous activities as they affect us all in this year round. The pasuk says in Karim, Mizei Rav, the Lukume Rasha, the Ketzel Kuri, the Shem Behema, the Sesh Lachmab, in the Chuma, and Sofei Hapra. The pasuk says in Tokuka that the Kaddish Baruch is going to send famine to us, and there's going to be fever, and we're going to have Ketzel Kuri. We're going to have a bitter plague. What is this bitter plague? So Rashi says Ketzef Neviri is a type of shade, a type of supernatural being, a type of mazik that can affect a person that Hashem has sent against us. And with this in mind, let's look at the Medrash Rabba in Eicha. The Medrash says in Eicha, Rabbas in Parakal, Korod Fei Zigua Bein HaMitzarim, that our enemies will pursue us during the straits. And we know that we refer to this time they were as Bein HaMitzarim, the Shvitzu Shabbat, and Shabbat Shabbatamlas. These are the days from the 17th of Tammuz until the 9th of Av. What does it say? Says the Medrash. Shebehem ketzev neviri matzoi. This time of sakana, of danger, with the shade and the negative influence of the most powerful, exists from the 17th of Tammuz, says the Medrash, until the 9th of Av. The Gemara in Sakhum Kupir Aleph talks about the time of danger even beginning from the Chodesh Tammuz, going forward to Tisha B'Av, and this is cited by the Bir Halacha, or Vajra, thinking the Chasma Vajra, that this is a time where there is more danger and there's greater issues for the Jewish people. What are some nafkins of Halacha that are cited by the post of things that should be avoided or looked out for during this time? The first is based on the Rokeach, citing of Bamidbar Rabbah. You shouldn't walk alone during the fourth hour of the day until the ninth hour of the day. Because whatever that means, from the fourth hour of the day to the ninth hour of the day, this is the time where Ketzev Meriri runs wild, where its strength is the worst. And this would include the period during the 3 weeks. And this is actually cited halacha by the Shulchan, it's in the Talmud of the Ralph and the Rosh Hashulchan, that one should not walk alone from the fourth hour of the day until the ninth hour of the day. Does anybody here care about this? No? Anybody at all? So let's explain why perhaps you're not so careful about this. First of all, the first exception to the rule might be the Eishlav Rav. The Bishachar Rav says, He says, this whole discussion, not going alone, doesn't apply in a place where people are around in the city. We're talking about your boy yourself, walking on a country road, there's nobody there. That's what we're talking about. But if you're in the city, there's people around you, so there's no problem whatsoever. And this was the Aruch HaShulchan, said the Aruch HaSchaim, the speaker of the Kutzei Mariach, the Chazanish, all say this whole Siman Shomra doesn't apply when there are people around. The third exception is that the Sovereign Shuba writes the Ne'el Gimel, that it doesn't apply to a Dvar Mitzvah. If you have to walk along somewhere between the fourth and ninth hour of the day, and it's for a mitzvah, none of this applies, and that's 100% permissible. Finally, the Lo Yashiv is Kon Yashiv Yish, that say the same thing Kon Salamah will say, Shem Mishloch Hameski, that we're not careful about this nowadays, either because, as we'll talk about in a moment, Shomer Pesayim Hashem, people simply don't care about these things, or we're simply not worried about Shadir nowadays, and therefore it's not applicable. So that Sidon Shokhara, cut out, doesn't apply, and we don't have to worry about walking alone during the 3 weeks. The second thing that Saila Api Halacha is the Shibon HaLeka. The Shibon HaLeka, one of the great Mishonim. So he says that because Sakana exists during this time, you may not perhaps if this was your policy, you may not strike a child. You cannot be machanech a child during the 3 weeks by hitting them during this time period because of the high level of sakana. And that's saiba halachim shochanara in sif yudches mechayadam. It says you can't even hit with the belt, not even with your open hand, you can't hit with the belt. And it applies to your children, says the Lush. And this is saiba halachim poskim, kids of shochanara, other scars as well. Now, the Prima Gavin says maybe it only applies between the fourth and the ninth hour of the day. That's what the Prima Gavin says. But the Tosef Haskayim says we should be mindful all the time during this period. The Poskim add that maybe you should not in our Shemach when there's a mezuzah, because the mezuzah is a makom of Shira. And the Yishal Ram says you can hit a child if the mezuzah is in the room. Lemaisa nowadays, I think goes without saying, Bisman Hazeth. We do not hit children. The chinuch does not work anymore. It's not effective. It's not going to be an effective thing. A person is going to hit all of the machanim, say nowadays, that a person needs to be extremely careful. You have to know they're not doing it from past, not doing it from anger. A person has to know that he's not doing it in revenge of the child. He has control. And therefore, always better to sit on the side of caution and perhaps not do this at all, not even during the 3 weeks, but even other 365 days of the year as well. The third halakha is cited in Medrash Eicha and Perek Aleph, that there's a type of sakana to walk from the sun into the shade. There's some sort of mystical sakana, the person who walks from the sun into the shade. Certainly during the heat wave we had last week, many people want to walk from the sun into the shade. And this is cited by Yerav and the Mishabura. Lamaisa, it's unclear what the sakana is. The minhag is not like this. We go from the sun to shade all the time, even during the 3 weeks. Number four, unless the first four things are not, as practical, unless you're not some more practical sakana issues during the 3 weeks. There are a number of svarim of Talmidim or Moshe Feinstein, Bukovishim or Moshe, that you're allowed to have surgery during the 3 weeks, even if it's an elective surgery. Even if it's not emergency, it's elective surgery, even if it can be postponed until afterwards, they say to Shem Rav Moshe that you're allowed to have surgery during the 3 weeks. In Masoresh Moshe, Rabbi Tzadon writes, Chelek Aleph, that Rav Moshe felt one should be machmir if possible during the 9 days because of the mazel, which we'll talk about later on. On the other hand, most poskim say, so Yaakov Kamenetsky and Tzitzel Yezro Vangio say, and Rav poskim all say, that one should try to not have surgery during the 3 weeks, and you can push it off until afterwards. That would be the preferable thing because of the high sakana during the time, to go under anesthesia, to be in the hospital, all kinds of levels of sakana, and therefore it's probably a better thing to push off as soon as possible during this time period. Let's now discuss swimming, things like that. When it comes to swimming, going on to limb, it's not a problem if there's no chashash sakana. The Moshe is quoted in the Shmais of the Moshe, the Shlomo Zaman Arbach, and the Shlomo. All of these people allow swimming as long as it's safe. You follow protocols, you have a lifeguard, you have a life jacket. As long as you're being safe, it's okay to go swimming. Something that can be dangerous about swimming, as long as the person is acting according to the proper policies as well. The other issue that's raised during this time period is the Reya Mazla, the bad mother. We all know the first part of this Gemara because it has to do with Purim. Mishenechnas Av, the matzah simcha. When Purim comes in, when Av comes in, we lower the simcha. Amar Yehuda Breger Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. Kishen Shmishenechnas Av, the matzah the simcha. Just like when Av comes in, lower the simcha. Kach Mishenechnas Av, the matzah the simcha. Amar Afafa Hilka. Bar Yisrael Dinislay Dina Bar Dinachri. During this time period, a Jew who has a din Torah, a court case with a guy, should push it off. Don't have it during this time period because you have bad mazel. Don't go to court during this period. During after Rosh Chodesh Av, now other better to do it in other better time. You have good mazel. This is the side of the top of the Aleph. But Rav Ram says it's last all the way to the Rosh Chodesh Elul, if that's the case. And Mishnah says, if need be, have a court case, you can have it after Tisha B'Av, that would be fine. They quote B'Shem David Feinstein, it doesn't apply regarding the din Torah between two Jews, not between a Jew and a guy, not between two Jews. Regarding going on an airplane, They say they call the fines for being lenient. However, most postmen say they should only get on a plane during the period of Reya Mazla, during the period of bad Mazla, if there's a necessity. So Yaakov Kamnetsky and Mr. Yaakov said it should only be done with Lashim Nisko, like Peter Abba Ain, this is the Eretz Yisrael, but Shomaz Amin Arbat, and the Shalmei Moi says it's allowed to come up to Eretz Yisrael, not to be able to stay there in Yeshiva, if it's going to be better for learning, you have to get on a plane as well. But what Yoshua has flying for Panasa with four things like that. So the sheet of most posted is, unless it is necessary, starting from Rosh Chodesh Av, a person should not get on a plane unless there's a need. It shouldn't be for vacation, it shouldn't be for no reason, it shouldn't be for tzara in order to get on the plane. Some people want to know, is there a problem to have fun during the 2 weeks? Are you allowed to do fun activities? I get the shot a lot from a lot of the camps in the Long Island area. Can they do fun activities with the kids during the weeks? Can they go on fun trips? Or do you have to be sad during the time period? So the Shimon HaLeket says, he says you shouldn't have a lot of simcha during this time period. The Eliyahu Rabba cites the Ma'aril, who says also you shouldn't do too many fun things. And the Mishnah Berurah hints to a similar idea in Siman Tafkuf Tzadik Gimel. But if you look in the Sha'ar Siyah, at the end of Siman Tafkuf Nun Aleph, the Chofetz Chaim says, the emes eini ro'eh tam Eliyahu Rabba. I don't understand the reason of Eliyahu Rabba. The Gemara of Niskar King Nishnechas and the Matzah is simple of a Kodesh. Says the Chofetz Chaim, you're right. From Rosh Chodesh Av until Tishvav, you should try to set your fun, extra fun activities, extra fun trips, things like that. But during the rest of 3 weeks, not a problem. There's no such concept as the Chofetz Chaim of not doing fun things during the time before the 9 days. Okay, so this is a general overview, the kitzur of the halachas related to sakana, fun, mazel during the 2 weeks and 9 days. Let's take a step back and talk about sakana in general, engaging activities that carry a certain threshold, a certain sakana, danger that comes along with it. And what does the Torah say about that? People like to know about skydiving, people want to know about dangerous activities, things that come with a little excitement. Are these things permissible? Not permissible in the eyes of Allah. Let's look at the Gemara, the Masechus Brachos Daf Lamed Beis. Ma'isa b'chassid echad shayim mispal b'dar. They tell the story of a chassid who had to daven while he was traveling. Bahi gamo nacha b'nasim l'shalom. So an officer, a sar, some sort of governor came by, riding on his horse, and he saw this Jew, and he said, "Nasim l'shalom." He said, "Good morning, Jew. How are you?" "Bahisa l'shalom." But the chassid didn't respond. Why? Why not? He was a little dominant. He didn't want to speak. Him to watch to see him to us and wait until he finished. So after just to us, after he was gathered on Allah. So the officer said to him, "Reka, you empty fool. Follow customers of Rascham doesn't say in your Torah, Raki Shemelo Choshman Ashacha. You have to be careful with yourself. You have to protect your nephesh. You got to protect yourself." And it says, "Mishmar Demao." You have to be very careful in guarding your nefesh. When I said good morning to you, why didn't you respond back to me? Aleichem shalom. If I would have gone and taken my sword and cut your head off, who would have come and claimed your blood against me? Meaning, they would have no claim against you. I have all the power and the rights in the world to kill you on the spot. A chutzpah. You don't say good morning, but I killed you on the spot. You should know better the power that I have, what I could have done to you, and you put your life in danger, a terrible mistake, and foolish chassid. Now, that is the source. This is the source in the Gemara, in a couple other places, but this is the source where the Gemara quotes the chassid, the famous chassid. You have to protect your life. What's the problem with citing that pasuk? Anybody know what the problem with citing that pasuk? No? Nobody Krita here? What's going on in that pasuk? Anybody know what he's talking about? Okay, so I'm going to help you out. Let's look at the Marasha. The Marasha did know Chumash, and he knows what's going on in the context of that pasuk. Let's look at the Marasha in that pasuk. Says the Marasha, "Haikra b'shachach to the Torah the Kamayim." First of all, very chashuv. A guy knows Chumash. That's very good. He knows his Bible. And then he says, this pasuk they're quoting, look at the context. It's talking about not forgetting Torah, not protecting your neshama. The third paragraph, a person who forgets his learning, he's chayv misa, he was chayv benaf shishrema, rakishrema, lachar kotzer apasar, v'chein ha'ikram nishmatel nashu seichem. The famous pasuk that we like to bandy about, we're talking about doing safe things, v'nishmatel nashu seichem, ha'ikri shalom namin v'shim tavish pesel. That's talking about not making you go to Zara. That's talking about protecting your spiritual soul. It's not talking about protecting yourself physically. Lo'ayri ha'nikra k'al v'shmeres nefesh adam. It's not talking about physical danger. The Gemara in Shavuos says it's talking about not cursing someone. Where does the Gemara get off? Or where does this guy, this officer, get off saying, this is a pasuk that's telling not to dangerous things? The whole context of the pasuk is not talking about skydiving or things like that. It's talking about protecting your neshama. Not engaging and going off the derech. That's what it's speaking about. That's the question of our show. Nevertheless, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch at the end of Pasuk, as the source was saying, where it comes to Pashos, any single time there's a possibility of putting your life in danger, mitzvahs, essay, last zero, there's an asma mitzvah to remove it. Will the Shamiri men to stay away from it? Lizar Gedar Yafa Yafa. And to be very, very careful with it, as it says, Yishaver Lacha Shwanashacha, Yimlo Hisuf, you don't remove it. Beinia Hamishkolas Hamavin Le Sakana. And you go and you do something dangerous. Mitzal Mitzis Asay Gavra Alosis and Dabin. You violated a past commandment and you violated the master of putting blood in your home. So, what's the point over here? First of all, first we'll say, Chazal didn't say this. This guy came over to Strasha. Who made the Gemara? Chazal made the Gemara. So it's obvious. If Chazal, Ravina and Ravashi, the editors of the Gemara, put this story in with this pasuk, it's clear that they hold that this is something we should learn from. It's also clear that this is a dinda raisa, a Torah commandment to not do very dangerous things. And it's also clear that even if I do something dangerous, and then I also survive, it doesn't make it okay, right? You can't go into another irresponsible, dangerous situation and then come out on the scene and say, but I made it through, so clearly Hashem loves me. That's not how it works. You still did something dangerous, no matter what happens at the end of that event, okay? So this is the source, this is the foundation.
Who decides what's dangerous?
Excellent, we're moving there. We're going piece by piece, we're building piece by piece. Let's look at the continuation of that Gemara, okay? The next source is the next part of that Gemara. Look what the Gemara says. Amar Allah. So the Chassid says to the officer, wait, I'm going to calm you down, put your sword away, I'm going to make everything better. Amar Allah. He says, yes, I was standing in front of a human being here. And one of your friends came and said hello to me. Hi, Samach, hello. I should respond to you. No, I'm talking to the king. You're right. And if I was in the middle talking to the king, and you came by and interrupted me and the king talking, what would happen to you? The king would cut my head off. That's what would happen. Is it not a kalachomer? If you say the same thing that I'm standing in front of the king's human being who's here today but gone tomorrow, I'm standing in front of the creator of the universe, the most powerful king that was, is, and will be. Obviously, I'm going to stop talking to Hashem to talk to you. Bad of bones and flesh and blood, and that's it? Of course not. The officer, calm down. And the chassid went home in peace. Asks the Taz, in the Rechaim, skimming Samach Ra. The Chassid responded to the threat of your officer by telling your officer, wait, I can explain myself. What a chutzpah. How can you speak in such a way? Oh, wait, I'm going to convince you. How can you go and say, but I know better. The guy has a sword and he's threatening to cut off your head. If I were the Chassid, I'd have been like, you're right, I'm sorry, have a good day. You know, officer, please give me my ticket. And you're like, we'll end it over here. But this guy does everything they tell us not to do in traffic school. He starts engaging with the officer. What are you doing today? It wasn't true. I was doing it on my phone. I was just putting it away. I was just checking something. It's an emergency. My wife's in the room. I have a baby. Well, he starts playing around the officer. If he was smart, he would have closed his mouth and walked away. Says the town, what was he doing? So the town says that he was aware that by law, he had the right to defend himself from the minister. That's what Taz says. I have the right to my day in court. I'm allowed to defend myself so I don't get in trouble. The Magen Avraham says similarly. It must be that the officer, that the chassid was so confident in his skills of persuasion that he knew he'd be able to calm down the officer. Now, both the Taz and the Magen Avraham are very strange. What's strange? What's strange on the Taz and Magen Avraham? How can you be so sure that the Tsar was telling the truth that he threatened to decapitate the chassid? Meaning, you're still starting up with the guy who threatened to kill you. How does that answer that you're going to be so sure they're going to start up with this guy? So I want to suggest the answer I saw in a different sefer. This is from the Mishnas Yaakov. Mishnas Yaakov in his Aris and Arachayim and Simul Kuv Dal Mishnas Yaakov is a Yaakov on the scene. He was one of the leading poskim in Galitzki in the beginning of the 1800s. So the Mishnas Yaakov says that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, lo am ha'aris chashid. If God was a chassid, then he can't be an Amaris. That's what it says. He clearly knows how to work. So what was his reasoning al pi halacha? He says it makes much more sense to say that the chassid was simply unaware of his surroundings while davening, meaning he had no idea what was going on. He wasn't making cheshbonos. He wasn't trying to outsmart this officer. He simply had no idea. Look at the words of the Shulchan Aruch in Simchat Aliches. V'kachayu osim chassidim v'ayin shamaisa. How does a chassid daven? Shayu v'zbodedeku mechavnim v'tzvilasam ad shumagiyam v'spashtus agashmus. When a person who's a real chassid davens, there's his spashtus agashmus. They are totally not in this world, totally unaware of their surroundings or what's going on. Says the Mishnah Yaakov, this chassid, even if he heard something, he had no concept of what's going on. He didn't know the minister was speaking to him. He didn't realize that he was in trouble. He didn't realize that his life was being threatened. He heard like blah 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 blah, and he's in the middle of Shemesh Esrei. He's connected to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Afterwards, he has to explain himself why he wasn't doing anything close to there. But he's simply saying, I have no idea. How do I know that this is the case, that a current person could be davening and have no idea? We actually find it in the Yerushalmi, in the end of Titus, that relates to the period that we're in. The Yerushalmi in Titus tells the servant, Lazar Modai. The Lazar Modai davening with such kavan, such intensity, that the Romans couldn't defeat Bar Kokhba and his army. Because the intense davening was about Ramo died. What happened? He set up a plan to ensnare and to entrap Ramo died. He went and pretended he was whispering something in his ear. And Bar Kokhba heard a rumor that the spies on the other side was Modayin, and he said to him, I heard you were conversing with a spy from the enemy. And Rosa Modayin said, what are you talking about? I have no idea. And that's the truth. He had no idea. His tefillos were so intense. He was so in tune with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There was such hispachus agashmius, but Rosa Modayin was unaware of what was going on around him. And Bar Kokhba said, but I have proof. And they report that he was whispering in your ear, and you were in communication with him. And Rosa Modayin continued to deny it. And Bar Kokhba was so upset that he kicked Rav Elazar Modai, the holy Tana, and he died from the injuries. And the Gemara in the end of time is said, Yerushalmi says, And once Jerusalem Adai stopped davening, that led to the end of the city. Beitar, and Beitar was destroyed because they had no more sukkuyos in the davening Jerusalem Adai. That's how we see how far a person's davening can go. That they're unaware of what's around them and the fallout of such a thing could be. So we pass on halakha. You can't put yourself in danger. So the question was asked, how do you define sakana? What's dangerous? What's not dangerous? How do we quantify this? Right? Is a person, we all assume you were allowed to take calculated risks. We walk down the street, we get in our cars, we leave our homes in the morning, we use our ovens, we all take calculated risks. Right? The safest thing you can do when it comes to traveling is to walk. Walking is probably the safest thing. But eventually, bicycles were developed, and then scooters were made, and then there was motorcycles, and electric scooters, and electric bikes. All of these things are more dangerous than walking, without question. Does it mean it's us or to do them? So I think it's hard to argue such a thing. No, because if you use all of these devices responsibly, and you follow the traffic laws, and you wear a helmet, and you ride in a responsible, reasonable way, then you're taking a calculated risk, and it's permissible to do something that carries a remote danger for the sake of quality of life. It's a bunch of things, and unfortunately, we have to make sure we're wearing helmets, we ride our bikes, and our children are wearing helmets. It's so foolish to send them a child. We have to come and say, oh, Mom, how my friends are doing it, and it's not cool, and it's annoying. It doesn't matter. It's so not worth the risk that a person should go out in such a way and put himself in such a sakana. That could be a violation of Shmai Tzom Sakana Seicha, to not dress properly and to not follow the laws and to use them properly. That could be usher. That's not a calculated risk. That's irresponsible. That's a problem. But if a person has followed the rules and the regulations and they're working with experts and they're doing what they're supposed to do and they're acting in a safe manner, a person is allowed to take a calculated risk and to go out into the world. Is it a problem to go skydiving? Is it a problem to go on safari with lions and tigers and to stand there when a lion is 15 feet away from you? Is that a thing that's usur? Probably not. As long as you follow the rules, you listen to the guides, you follow the expectations, that's fine. Is it okay to go to the Bronx Zoo and to jump into the lion's cage and start messing around and trying to pull yourself? No, that's a fool. That's a dumb thing to do. But to follow the perfectly okay, because the experts say that it's safe and it's statistically okay. The Noda Yehuda, the Chassid Landau, the chief rabbi of Prague, has a well-known shuva in Madura Tenyani Rodes in Ratio. He was asked whether it's mutter to go hunting. Why? Because in that time period, in Prague, all of the noblemen, all of the fancy people, you know, instead of, you know, getting nice cars or whatever we would do nowadays, they would go hunting. That was their shtick. They would go hunting. And some of the wealthy Jews of Prague wanted to know, could they go with their non-Jewish noble friends and go hunting? So he says, first of all, I don't think hunting is such a nice thing for a nice Jewish boy. We only find two hunters in all of Chumash. One is Nimrod and the other is Esau. Is that who you want to hang out with? Is that like your role model? Hunting just for sport and not for, you know, not for food is certainly something not for a nice Jewish boy. But then he tells us as follows: Kol ha'oskim b'zeh, srichim l'chanes b'yaros v'lahaknes atzman b'sakanos dos. You go into the forest and you put yourself in sakana. V'makom g'dudei chayos, with wild animals. V'rachmana amar, and the Torah says, v'shmartim alunashu seicha. How could a Jew go put himself in an untrained wild situation with wild animals? If a person needs the animal to kill it for its flesh and its meat in order to be able to save himself, that's fine. A person's allowed to go overseas on a boat to travel in dangerous waters in order for business, because you got to make a parnasah. For parnasah, a person is allowed to do it. The halacha is that a person is allowed, who works in the field, is allowed to eat while they're taking from the produce they're picking. Why? because the guy who's working on the field is putting his life on the line. He's the one climbing the trees. He's the one working with the Hassan while you're sitting back in the office. He's allowed to take food. The Torah says he's putting life on the line. That's permissible for the sake of Parnassa. But this guy who just has too much time in his hands and can't get a chavrusa, so he needs to go hunt wild animals. This person violates it, and he goes to the Rambam. You can't go to a dangerous place. And you're not allowed to do this. Again, there's multiple makom for parnasa, but why should you put yourself in sakana just for fun? A person has a seichel hayasha, a God-given intellect that dictates how we act and what we do. Skiing, riding a bike, cliff jumping, they're all more dangerous than walking. I think we can all agree to that. But a person's allowed to take a calculated risk for the sake of enjoying quality of life. And a person goes skiing, it would make sense, I guess. If you go on the trails, that you know how to ski, and you wear the proper ski equipment, and you're responsible, and you do all that you're supposed to do, the calculated risk of skiing is a normal percentage that one person has to take into account in order to have a certain quality of life. The Gemara in a few places introduces the concept of Shomer Pesayim Hashem, right? That Hashem protects the fields. An activity that's routinely done and is not considered dangerous by the public, Dashu Bei Rabbit, says the Gemara. The public walk over it. They kind of ignore this dangerous thing. Shomer Pesayim Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows and sees to it that people will not be unnecessarily harmed by this danger. What's the get? So the Gemara Bracha says that if you go through the desert or you go over the dangerous seas, a person's bench is gone. That's the Gemara. So we all know bench and gone, right? Ask the Achronim. We have a bit of a paradox here. A person benches Gomel by going over dangerous seas, and he benches Gomel when he comes to the desert. But what's the question? Who gave him permission to go over sea in the first place? And who gave him permission to go through the dangerous desert? So the Achronim struggle with this question, and they come out with different answers. The Rav Yaakov Edlinger writes in Binyan Sion that risk is allowed as long as it's less than 50% chance. Now, that is a very, very high number. That means if there's only a 49% chance of you dying, you can do whatever you want according to Rav Yaakov Edlinger. Most posts can reject this idea. That's very, very dangerous. Essentially, you have a 1 in 2 chance of dying. Therefore, it's possible. So they reject that idea, and they say it's probably closer to a mean Hamas, meaning if the level of mortality rate is 1 in 10, 10%, then it's something you're not allowed to do. But if the mortality rate is not that, then a person should be allowed to. And it has to be something as well that's unexpected. I wouldn't see it coming. If I wouldn't see it coming, and there's a very, very low rate, then there's room to discuss doing such a thing. The Tshuva Shem Aryeh, in Yerodeh Simcha Zion, says that the Hetter Shomer Pesayim Hashem applies when the risk is socially acceptable, and people would take such a risk for their parnasa. And he says that the risk needs to be shayach to you. If you are not someone who's qualified to travel in that place, then that degree of sakana is a problem. And there's no hetzer of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Meaning, if you don't need to go for parnasa on that venture for that thing, then you're not allowed to go if there's a risk involved. Let's tie it back, for example, to skiing. Okay, or cliff jump. Okay, is jumping out of an airplane permissible? Perhaps again, the death rate of jumping out of an airplane is very, very low. There's a lot. I'm not advocating anybody to do this, but the rate of mortality is very, very low. If you go with an expert, everything is checked, everything is responsible, it's fine. But if you're not going to say I'm going to jump out of an airplane, but I'm going to do it on my own, not any training, and I'm going to not going to watch a video, I'm not going to do it. Then exactly, no, that's foolish. That's not showing beside the chef. You are a pessy and you're going to kill yourself. That's how the pasuk is talking about. It has to be within the calculated risk that's manageable and understood in such a situation as well. If a person wants to go skiing and they have only been skiing twice and they want to go off the trail without a helmet and in bad weather, show me beside the chef and go skiing. That's not true. You're being irresponsible. You're not following the protocols, you're inexperienced, you have no hesitation to put yourself in that place. So again, the rule that we want to walk away with from here is that a person is allowed to take a calculated risk in a low-risk situation if you're being responsible, you're following the rules, and you're well-equipped. There's no clear answer. I can't sit here tonight and tell you A, B, C, D, and that's it. You can do whatever you want. You have to follow the rules and the regulations, the safety experts and the authorities, and follow sound medical advice. There are certain things that are definitely clear that we need to be aware of. In now this day and age, to have to go around and say that it's a shiloh whether smoking is us or not, we're past that point. It's a double question of smoking kills people. There are very, very few rabbanim alive nowadays. We give out that same smoking, we cannot say shalom with the sign of Hashem. There's no shmir over there. The tshuva of Ramosha in the 1970s, even though David finds that doesn't apply anymore, smoking is certainly a pastor. To go voting, Rahman al-San, we hear every single song on the porch. To go voting without a light jacket, to go voting in water you're not equipped to go through, and to not follow the Coast Guard's direction, and with Bachman go out being a Zmanin, and they want to go for a Chavaya, they want to go for a fun thing, and they're not following the rules. Ma'amish putting themselves in walking sakana, and they put other people sakana, who have to go after them and save them, because they want to have fun instead of following the rules. A person goes camping or hiking without consulting the experts, having enough water, bringing a compass along, knowing what they're doing, leaving the trails. Every single summer we hear that they're sending people into the forest to look for children, to look for adults, to look for teenagers, who weren't careful. It's ma'amish sakana to not follow these things. You can have fun time, yet also follow the rules as well. Life jackets, all these things have to be mandatory. That, I think, is the kisser, the general approach of the Allah. I just want to end with a small Dvar Machshava, just to tie it back to the Rin, and then we'll conclude. The Pasuk says, Mishlei, Sinim Patham, Medera, you have to stay away from people who are crooked, people who are the shy. And the Ramat, Rav Moshe Kordover, says that a tzaddik is on a boat with people who are chayim, midinei shamayim, people whose lives are being judged by shamayim because of their averos. That tzaddik can drown because of those people. Ask from the chayim, Greenland, and the Sisei Chayim. Why is that fair? Why is it fair that the tzaddik is on a boat with people who are chayim benafsho, people who are chayim because of their averos, he should be posh? And he explains that when a person is b'matul sakana, a place of danger, he needs more merit in order to be saved than a regular situation. The Gemara in Shabbos says a person should not put himself in Makom Sakana because he's not going to have the proper zechuyos in order to get saved from that situation. The Gemara gives an example: a woman in childbirth needs extra zechuyos and tefillos in time of Sakana. And the Gemara Menachos tells us that when there's a time of Midas Adin, Be'idan Rista, a person who doesn't wear tefillin or tzitzis, they will be judged partially for not fulfilling mitzvos when they could have during the time of Midas Hadin B'Idan Rispa. That's what the Malach told Rav Katina. The same idea applies with Bein HaMitzayim. There are times we participate in possibly dangerous activities during the year, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a level of Shomer B'Sayim Hashem. For the other days of the year, a person can push the boundaries and do potentially risky, high-risk things that would put a person in B'makom Sakana perhaps. And a person has the level of protection. But during Bein HaMitzayim, he says, or Friedlander and say the other Baal Machshava, there's a time of din, it's a time of tragedy. And the extra zechuyos we need that come along with Shomer B'Sayim Hashem, they're lacking. And during these days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more strict in the Midas HaDin, and perhaps one does not have the necessary zechuyos. And this explains the Ramah. If there's a storm at sea and the boat is in danger, then the Midas HaDin affects everybody present. Doesn't matter if you're in Sadik or Russia. There's Midas HaDin. The Satan is mekashrik the Shas Sakana. The Satan is dancing around you when there's Sakana. And the judgment on the regular person is not because he's hanging out with Rishayim, but rather it's because Rishayim bring a Midas HaDin. And the Sadik needs Zuchios to overcome that Midas HaDin of that time. The 3 weeks are a time of historical misfortune. Many tragedies, so many calamities befell the Jewish people. Shiras Haluchos, Moshe Nigel Azav, the burning of the Savior Torah Apostolos, the second base on Mikdash, the destruction of both Bate Mikdash, Jews from Spain, Tisha B'Av in 1492, World War I, all of these things occurring during this time period. There's tremendous midas hadin during this time. And therefore, we need to assume that that extra leeway that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us when we push the boundaries, we take risks, who says that leeway is going to be there during this time of midas hadin? So I want to end here, according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, in his introductory remarks to his kinos. He says that Hester Panim, when Hashem is hidden from us, is a chief disaster that affected us. That was the biggest issue, the separation or distance between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael. We are too far from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We want to be near, closer to him. And he says that sometimes he is close and sometimes he is a hidden place to which we have no access. The Hester Panim is mentioned only once in Chumash, Haster Aster Panai, Bayom Ahu, and he goes on to quote the Gemara Bava Kama, the state where God does not distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, and this refers to the state of Hester Panim. When there's a time of Hester Panim, and things are not clear, Tzaddik and Rasha are sometimes judged in the same way, and they're affected with the same punishments. And therefore, since this is a time period of Hester Panim during this period, we have to be so careful how we use our tefillos not to push that. The halachos of danger and fun during this time are meant to focus us on the Hester Panim, to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what the truth is and the way a Jew should live properly and to focus on the real things. And our avodah as the 3 weeks continues to recognize the Hester Panim, understand it, and begin the process of removing it. Thanks so much, everybody. Thanks.